Morning. We have a little gift for you too. In addition to the cups, I have something that I want to share with you. The name of my teaching today is "It's Time to Shake It Up." And so Rhonda McGuire and her kids went to Dairy Queen early this morning and made milkshakes for everyone. And so I've got a couple helpers in the back, Abby, Alex, and J-Dog. They're going to pass out milkshakes, small little taste of something just to put it in your mind that it's time to shake it up. So while I, yay, we're happy already. We like this teaching already. That's funny. So you're welcome already. We're just so happy. That's it. The end. Have a good Mother's Day. Nope. I have to say, too, that I can't take full credit for this. Jordan, our great youth pastor and my brother-in-law, did a tiny little shake-it-up thing with the youth a few weeks ago, and that just stuck with me as I was getting ready to share with you today, and I just couldn't get rid of it, so had to ask him if I could steal it and build on it, and of course, he was good to share it. So if you're not coming to youth, and you the youth are gone. Are they in here? If you are a youth or you have a youth and you're not coming to youth, I'd like to invite you to come. Jordan's doing such a great job in there. It's awesome watching the kids grow. They're praying for each other and they're worshiping the Lord, and it's a beautiful thing. So if you have a youth or you are a youth, come be with Jordan. So little plug there for that group. I'm going to pray while they get you all some milkshakes, and we'll be ready. Lord, thank you so much for opportunity to share. Thank you for each mother, each family, each father, each child. You created family. That was your idea. And we thank you for that. We pray that you help us as we work to get it right, Lord. We pray that you soften our hearts today to hear what it is that you want to say. And we're willing, Lord, to move and do whatever you call us to move and do, wherever, whenever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so they're going to continue to pass out those shakes, and I'm just going to get moving. So some of you know me. Some of you don't know me. Many of you have heard me teach or share, usually crying. Many of you have seen me cry. We'll just put it that way. I don't typically like to share a lot about myself. None of us really do we? I usually just, the Lord gives a word, and I give the word, and then I sneak back to my seat and go on with it. And I usually don't work from notes a whole lot, but what God's really laid on my heart for today, as you can see, I have no idea how long this is, Pastor Joe, but there's some notes there. I feel like the word that God's giving us in this day and time is so important that I had to bring my notes. I had to type it up. And so you may see me read, you may see me refer. Please don't think I'm not prepared. I'm prepared, but I want to get it right because none of it's mine. It's his. And so I just got to get it right. So if you see me reading, just bear with me and go on. Typically, my hubby and I teach the kids a couple times a month under Pastor Kenny Rogers, who also happens to be my father-in-law, and if you know him, you've been kissed by him, probably, or hugged by him, but he's a great spiritual father in our midst, and God wants us to focus on the spiritual fathers and the spiritual mothers. Today's Mother's Day. Sometimes that's a tricky holiday, right? Some of us had great mamas. Some of us had absent moms. Some of us had unhealthy moms, so that relationship wasn't great. It's tricky, right? So God's calling us to look above all that to the spiritual aspect of who we are as mothers and fathers and family, okay? So plug to Kenny, who, by the way, gave me a hug today, prayed for me, and told me that he was proud of me before I even said a word. So even if I totally botched this up, Kenny is proud of me. So parents and moms and dads come in all sizes, right? Foster parents, birth parents, spiritual parents. They're all different. And all the roles that we play for our children, God uses, right? And all the roles we play in our part of the family is important. You ever notice how, like, the baby of the family really acts like the baby of the family? Yeah. The oldest member of the family is typically the leader, and sometimes it's called bossy, right? Those roles are there. They're thick in the family. God has established us with roles in his family, too, and they're key. And while our own families might not be healthy, his family is. My sister-in-law shared last week, we do not have a dysfunctional father. We are not part of a dysfunctional family in God's family. And that's what he desires for us who know that, to show the world who doesn't really know that, right? That's our call. That's what he's asking us to do. Okay, I got to get back on track here because I pulled out my own soapbox for a minute and I got to get back on. The Lord really impressed on me to share a bit about myself, which I said is not my favorite, but I will, at the onset of this teaching. So my background is I was the firstborn of a teen mom. She was a young mom. She tried to love and care for me the best way that a teen mom in that day and time with very little support. There were no pregnancy resource centers in that day. It was very shameful for that to happen in that day. So she did the best she could with what she knew. And primarily what that meant was she surrounded me by the very best grandma that God ever made and wonderful aunts and uncles who worked together to raise me and love me. And Aaron would say, spoil me. He feels like that I was pretty spoiled as a kid. But the enemy came in real early in spite of that love and labeled me. Sometimes that happens, right? As shameful, my conception was shameful. I was unwanted. I was unplanned, right? Those are all things that the enemy wanted to say to me. And nothing my family could do, no matter how much they loved or spoiled me, was strong enough to break that lie. Only when I came to know the perfect love of the Father, the perfect Father, could I break free from those labels. That perfect love covers all. That's a father who isn't dysfunctional, wasn't ashamed by my conception, wasn't surprised by my conception, unplanned to everyone but God, right? He didn't bail. I never knew my biological father, but I know my heavenly Father. He didn't bail. He wasn't scared. He didn't run, right? He stayed right there. That's the Father that gave his very own son in my place. This unplanned person, that's the kind of love that that Father showed. So once I got a hold of that truth, that perfect Father began to heal my heart, give me a vision of why I was created, and he put a burning passion inside of me to share that with everyone else. I just had that childlike, hey, if he loves me like that, he loves you like that. And if he can break me free from all this, he can break you free, right? I mean, it's pretty simple. At times, I've been accused of wearing those rose-colored glasses or just thinking, you know, positively. And gosh, that's a horrible thing to be called, positive. But it's probably true. I just know what's true, and I believe what's true, and I walk in that, and it's just simple to me. It hurts my heart to hear people, especially people who know God's love, say that person will never change. They're going to be a druggie for the rest of their lives. God can't break them out of that bondage. Are you kidding me? That's not the God I know. That's not my Father. Is that yours? No. So we have to grab hold of that and believe that's not true. Let me catch up. Rose-colored glasses. I truly believe, and I've seen it, and my childlike faith. Yep, there it is. Okay, catch up. Here I am. It's not what I believe to be true. I believe that the Lord is working to stir up that same childlike faith in the church body. Not just this church body, the entire church. As a church, we have to believe that God, our perfect Father, in his perfect love, can break free anyone from anything at any time. We have to operate like that. As I continued to walk along with my perfect father, other situations came in my life, right? It happens. My mistakes, others' mistakes, sin of mine, sin against me, life, right? I mean, that's just how that goes. But the perfect grace-filled love from my perfect father patiently healed every wound through his word and through the love of others and family. The honest role that people in my circle played in just sharing their day-to-day life with me and modeling unconditional love was the key for me, and I believe it's the key for everyone. Sounds simple, but I would challenge us that I'm not sure we're doing it, and we'll get there. Friends who made commitment to love and share without judgment, sisters in Christ who understood what real love was and modeled it for me, and God gave me mothers and fathers that knew how to love me well and trained me simply by loving me so that I now can be a mother, right, to the motherless. At any stage of healing or growth, I became more and more inflamed to ensure that others knew that same grace, that same love, that same forgiveness. Has the Lord delivered you from something? We've all been delivered from something. If you've walked with the Lord very long, he's freed you and delivered you. So what are we doing with that? Are we using it? Are we going out and using it and willing to be vulnerable and share? It's not always easy to do, right? It's not easy for me to even share this part of my story. But I envision it like, okay, have you ever seen, you've been, any movie where people have been kidnapped or they've kidnapped a whole family and they've tied up the dad and they've tied them all up. And if dad can get free, what's the first thing he does? He gets himself untied. What does he do? Rescues the family. He goes and unties everyone else, right? So if I've been delivered from whatever it is I've been delivered from, I have a responsibility to untie the family. We all do, right? My perfect father began to teach me who I am, who he says I am. And it's crucial that we all know that. He's commissioning us to teach others who we are. The world loves to label us. I have a clip, and Jason's going to help me show it because I don't know how to do that. But it's from Pastor Jeremy Foster at Hope City Church. It's very short. You ready, bud? Oh, he is. No. They're telling me no. I have another clip a little later in the teaching. No, that's not going to happen either. So, okay, I'll paraphrase. I'm not going to be nearly as cute as his son, but he brings his son out, and his son has a little verse, basically, that says his name. So, I am Melissa Schmidt. I am chosen. I am loved. I am kind. I love God, and I love others. Okay, sort of. Something like that. We would have got it straight. We would have got it exactly. But that's the paraphrase. And then he goes on to say that he did not teach his son that little phrase. He taught his daughter, the oldest child. She taught the other children. Right? So God taught me and you that we are chosen, we are kind, we love him, we love others. That's what he's taught us. Now it's our job to teach each other and then to go out there and teach all of those that don't have anyone in their life speaking that to them, don't have anyone in their life telling them that, right? We made it through that. It's crucial for us to grab a hold of that. This is who we are. This is who we're called to be. This is who our Father calls us. It's not prideful to say that. It's factual. It's a simple fact. Becca Rogers Weaver is Kenny Rogers' daughter. She knows who she is as Kenny's daughter. It's not prideful for her to tell you how great he is and all the things that he taught her. It's just factual. That's what we have to learn to operate in. We have to walk in that balance of humility and knowing who we really are. So he goes on to talk about labeling, and the world loves to label. We have a lot of really confused folks who aren't sure about a lot of simple things. They've been labeled at some place, sometime in their life. We know the truth. Right? We do know the truth. All right. Pastor Foster, okay, I went on to say that. Let's see. What happens oftentimes in our nature is that we tend to be jealous of our siblings. Remember how we talked about the roles in the family? Sometimes we're jealous of our siblings, or we're intimidated by them. And so instead of encouraging them or being who we should be for them, we function from that place of insecurity. So instead of encouraging each other with a genuine heart, we compare ourselves to each other. Comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison binds us and keeps us in a place where we can't just function in who we are. And it does it to the people around us too. The enemy knows how important community and family are, not only to us, but to the mission that God has given us to show love to others. John 13:35 says, "The world will know us," we know this, "by our love." The love that's patient and kind and not jealous and does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. Do you ever see unbecoming behavior? I do. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked. It does not take into account wrong. Another translation said it doesn't keep records of wrongs. I love that one, especially in the family setting. Or here's a little side tip. I wasn't going to talk about marriages, but let's not keep record of wrongs in our marriages, right? That's not love. I'm glad my husband does not keep record of wrong. The love that God charges us with is not love that comes with a disclaimer. I love you when. I love you if. I love you but. Your lifestyle needs to change. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for us to address sin. Okay? I'm fully aware that the woman at the well, the Lord said to her, "Go and sin no more." But he started with love, kindness, protection. He was fiercely protective of her. Of her. Okay, so we have to lead that way. We're in a time of our culture where, I'm going to say this right out loud, the church doesn't have the best reputation out there. Because people who have gone under the title as Christian and haven't always understood exactly the best way to get their message out have done so in a hurtful way. Now, sin is hurtful and I get it. It's a fine line. But God's calling us to a place of balance. It's time for us to show, yeah, love. That's it. And he tells us the burden is easy. It's simple, right? I need to see Becca moved. Thank you. I need to see your face for a second. There's a time for hard conversation. There's a time for declaration of, hey, you need to change and ask God to help you clean up that area of life. But I don't feel like God's saying that time is now. God's saying it's time for balance. It's time to bring back that love without fear. Okay, so we'll talk about that too. My transformation came through that gentle love. Were there areas in my life I needed to clean up? Yep. But they came through the love that I was shown. I wanted to clean him up because I loved him, because he loved me. When we can see ourselves as chosen and forgiven, then we see others as chosen and forgiven, even if they're not walking that way yet, right? A lot of them aren't walking that way yet. God sees them like that, even if we don't, even if they don't. We have to. I have to. People we agree with and people we don't, they are chosen and forgiven, just not quite there yet. We have to ask God to adjust our heart and our vision. When Aaron and I were first married, I started serving on the board of the Pregnancy Support Center, and then I counseled I volunteered in the counseling room, took a staff position, developed programs. For me, that was like full circle. God took all that the enemy intended for evil and used for good. In that role, I could minister to teen moms like my mom was, I could minister to those unplanned children like I was. There was such a time of healing for me as I worked through the center. I loved it. God was gracious to allow me to minister to those moms. It was during my time there that the Lord dropped in my spirit that I would actually be in the working position that I'm in now. And so I'll share where God has moved me now. But it was then, 20 years ago, that he kind of said, this is where we're going to be in 20 years. Off and on, we would lobby at the Capitol for different pro-life, Sean still does it, different pro-life issues that are coming up, different bills. Workers at the pregnancy center would go, and we would lobby. And it was on one of those trips the Lord said, some point you'll be here. You'll be in this building. And so I just said, sure, okay, and went on. And it crossed my mind, but I moved into preschool education, parent education, and from time to time the Lord, you know, would remind me of that, but I just kept doing daily what I was doing. And over the course of that time, my heart continued to hunger to bring the love that leads to freedom to just everyone. In many settings, I would be that teacher's aide who saw the good in the rowdy kid, or anybody like that? You like that rowdy kid? I love that rowdy kid. He's the one you're going to see the most growth in, right? He's the one you're going to see change. And anyway, that's a separate soapbox, but I love the rowdy kid. I eventually was the preschool director who had a lot of compassion for those parents who maybe couldn't pay their bills or struggled, or those were my people. That's where my heart always went. Or the lady at Walmart who couldn't pay for her groceries and I could, so I did. A lot of you are the same. We're that way, right? That compassion, God puts that in our heart. All knowing that the power of that, those simple acts of kindness and intentionally trying to reflect who he is in the only way that I could would lead to them coming to know the Lord, right? We can do that. It's simple. He continued to show me who I was. He revealed giftings and had given me and revealed the true nature of what he had really done in my life. I always tell this story. I counseled a little gal in the counseling room who was there with child number 5, and I had been her counselor all the way through, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then she was back, and it was number 5, and it's easy to get frustrated and not know what else to say, because at that point, you've kind of shared it all, and I just said to the Lord in that counseling setting, Lord, I'm frustrated. Am I the only person that gets frustrated? You guys are looking at me like, I should never get frustrated. I was frustrated, and I was lost. I don't know what else to say. I've given every bit of advice to this little gal, and here we are again. And the Lord looked, I feel like he looked at me and said, that could be you. The only difference between you and her is me. So let's get to work and love on her. And so not only did I get to minister, I was ministered to quite often in those settings. The Lord will speak and get you where you need to be. Right, Sean, Tammy? They do it all the time. Danny Silk writes, and he's from Bethel, if you don't know Danny Silk, but he writes, the people of God must lead in all areas of their lives with honor. In their home, their church, their business, anywhere they have influence, we must carry the honor of our Father. And that honor begins here. In our own heart. Danny goes on to challenge us, we must examine our own heart. What's our motivator? Are we hurt? Are we afraid? Are we living believing that we're children of the perfect Father? Have we accepted that for ourselves so that we can show it to others? There's no way I'd be able to show love in the current situations that I'm in if it weren't for the 20 years that the Lord has been speaking to me about who I am and about who he is. This is my favorite statement from this Danny Silk quote. Are we more concerned with self-preservation, or are we inspired to make connections? Are we worried about us? I am sometimes. You are too. We all are. Self-preservation for me in certain settings would be to avoid the other side of where I work. Right, I'm in the Capitol now. God's moved me there, and I could easily avoid to preserve myself. Right, my goal is higher And that's where we are right now. God's calling us to look above ourselves. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. Jesus sacrificed the ultimate so I can surely sacrifice what others might think about me. Do we see ourselves and others with the Father's heart of love and value? We have to see others beyond the surface. We have to see ourselves for who we are. We are chosen, we are loved, we are children to a perfect Father. But we too are also broken and in need of daily repair, just like the others, just like the they. Are we prideful? Are we like the Pharisees? Do we say to ourselves, yeah, I have my flaws, but at least I'm not struggling with blah, blah, blah. Or do we take pride in the work we do for the Lord? I teach, I serve, I'm at the church when the doors are open. Sometimes those things harden our heart and we forget that we are broken and we need daily repair. Danny Silk finishes by saying, winning the battle in our own heart is the key to shifting our culture toward restoration. Winning the battle in our own heart is the key toward shifting our culture toward restoration. Do we live in a culture that needs to be restored? Yes, we do. Different than any other culture in our past. It's different now. So we'll fast forward. The Lord began to show Aaron and I that my job at the Capitol was potentially coming. We began to pray about it, seek counsel. It's going to be an adjustment for our life. I drive to the Capitol. I want to be home every night with my husband. That's an hour and 10 minutes one way. It's going to be an adjustment. I would need to give up some things I do in the community, in the church. It would be an adjustment. But is it what God's calling for me? We both agreed that it was. It was time to do it. It was tricky for me, too, because I felt like it didn't really look like what everyone else was doing, right? Do you ever feel like that? This isn't what anyone else is doing. So is it right? Sure it is, because God's created us all differently, and we just have to get a hold of that. I had taught women for years and years that God had a plan specifically designed for them, so it was just my turn to believe that for myself. So God really made it time. He made it plain that it was time, and he reminded me that he had mentioned it to me previously, when 20 years ago or so, and so we did it. So I accepted it. I've always been interested in history, our country, politics, but I was nervous about coming into that setting because it is our time is very different right now. The perfect Father calmed me with the reminder of a simple mission for this new job. Very simple. You're going to take light to the darkness. That's it. You got this, girl. You're just going to shine. That's what you're going to do. And so it's easy for us to be kind and let our light shine to you guys because you love me and I love you and you're nice to me and I'm nice to you. But what about the ones who don't love you and maybe aren't nice to you? And so, you know, here we go. What benefit is it for me to love people who already love me back? None. Luke says, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one. From the one who takes away your cloak, give him your tunic. You need my jacket? Here's my dress. Taken. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would treat you, treat them. It's a golden rule, right? Easy. That's easy. When I directed my own preschool, that's what I told my staff. The golden rule is our daily rule. This is what we do. Even if the kids are stinky or mean or cranky, this is what we do, right? So even if the world is stinky, cranky, this is what we do. This is our call. I thought they were still working on it. Oh, hey, look at them. Oh, so you'd be ready for the second clip? Okay. Oh, they're the best. Okay. So verse 32 says, if you love those that love you, what benefit is that? Verse 36 says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. My perfect Father, your perfect Father. We're all created for purpose, for destiny, for a call that is designed for us, called to a place to do exactly that, simply shine the light of the Father. For some of you, that's in your home with your children, or it's in your workplace, or it's at the DMV, where it is not the easiest place to shine your light. Or Walmart. Anybody hate Walmart like I do? Oh my gosh, I hate Walmart. You gotta shine your light in there. Please. There's a support group, Pastor Joe says. So off I went, and I did as the Father told me. He had told me clearly that my drive time would be our time. I needed to worship, listen to teachings, spend time with the Lord. Okay? And then when I got to work, all I had to do was shine my light. That was it. So off I went every day, listening to worship, teachings, and the Lord began to download the desire to show his love in overdrive, like maybe in a little bit of an annoying way. I may annoy a few people at the Capitol with how sweet and nice I am to them. That's okay. And he began to share with me that the things he was showing me in our drive time are things that I'm supposed to be sharing with the body. So here I am, hence this teaching. The things he's showing me in my time with him, not just for me, for all of us. He was reminding us, Corey Russell taught during the One Thing conference at IHOP KC, and I was re-listening to some of his teachings, and he said that he's looking for those who will press in for the lost and for our family and for each other, those who are willing to swim upstream in our world and be willing to come back to the Father and wrestle in prayer on their behalfs. So go out there, swim upstream, get back home, and intercede. Right? That's the way I perceive that. Corey said Jesus is looking for those who will partner with him, not just in word, because we can talk a lot, but also indeed, yes. This next stage in our culture looks pretty intimidating. A lot of topics are super uncomfortable for us, topics we're not familiar with, we don't know how to discuss, so we're either silent or we're hurtful. And God says, I'm not in either place, right? He wants to teach us the middle. The Lord's impressing upon me that he would prefer that we become educated. Yeah. So that we can step out and be an accurate picture of him in this specific day and time. So it's simple, but we got to work a little bit, right? I don't know how to talk about half the things that people are struggling with. Quite frankly, don't want to talk about them. I want to stick my head in the sand, and I'm the only one, I guess. Seems overwhelming a bit. But he is reminding us, again, that the burden is easy. So the direction for us is simple. What was it? Love. Yep, that's it. And I thought Pastor Joe was going to teach my teaching when he talked a little bit about love a little while ago. In the book, The Next Christian by Gabe Lyons, he talks at length about what Christianity needs to look like going forward. And he interviewed Billy Graham when he was still alive. I'm a huge Billy Graham fan. He's such an incredible example to us about how to maneuver any setting, any situation, any body, still reflect Christ, and come out respected. He told the truth in love. I'm a huge Billy fan. But he interviewed Billy Graham, and Reverend Billy Graham sat in all types of circles, all types of people. He made an impact wherever he went with that incredible balance of love and truth. As the author discussed our current culture, the current state of where we are, Billy Graham stated that when he did crusades years ago, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to read this because I don't want to misquote Billy, that's for sure. The Holy Spirit was moving in those type settings and was at work changing lives in that way. But today, I see the Spirit moving through individual people in one-on-one relationships. So we're the people, right? I agree, that's where we are, and the Lord is looking for those who are willing to do that outside of our comfort zone. Willing to be the family so desperately needed in our culture, willing to be whole, healthy mothers and fathers who have been loved well and know how to love well, is calling us to do that. He began giving me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity at our state capitol to simply be kind, smile, say good morning to everyone I meet. compliment the person on the elevator who I know sits on the other side of the aisle from the party I typically vote for, but able to compliment and just love on her. Go out of my way to be early, be an excellent employee, open the door for folks, let others go ahead of me, work hard, and see others the way God sees them. No matter what, Republican, Democrat, somewhere in between, I don't care. Right? As in any new job, there's a learning curve. So I was learning a lot. Procedure, rules, there are many codes, many of them I wouldn't understand until they taught me, old parliament style things. And so I needed a lot of help. And so I was in a lot of different departments, asking a lot of questions. But God laid it on my heart to bless every single place I went to, everywhere my foot went. So before I took that job, my mother-in-law gave me a little jar that says chocolate makes everything better. And she filled it with chocolate. And I took that jar with me everywhere I went. So any department that got a question from me got a little Hershey's Kiss from me. People started noticing as I'm carrying around my little jar, what is it? It's nothing. It's simple. It's chocolate. But my mother-in-law knows chocolate makes everything better. She's totally right. But department after department, what was I doing? Sharing chocolate, but shining the light of Jesus. Do you know that other people were not doing that? Other people were grumping and mad and, why isn't my stuff done right now? And it was ugly. And literally one department in the Capitol who was under a lot of pressure at the time, our publications department, I left one day and said, my stuff wasn't ready. What I had ordered, it was fine. I took my chocolate, said, it's okay, we'll wait, no big deal. And the lady said to me, you are a friend of this department. You know, the next thing she's gonna ask me, why? Why are you so nice? Oh, let me tell you about my perfect father. Right? Okay. And my mother-in-law who supplies me with chocolate. Let me tell you about her. She's the best. So I went through trainings, met all the people. I intentionally thanked the janitor in the bathroom, the doorman at the door. I mean, I just, whatever. And you know, at the end of the day, I always have the best day. Right? Don't you? When you just, it's simple. Shining the light, going on through. There's a man across the hall from me. His name is Joe, and Joe never looks up from his desk, and he never looks up from his shoes when he's walking in the hallway. And Joe's probably the one I drive crazy because every morning I say, good morning, Joe. How are you, Joe? Waving his office. How's it going, Joe? And he's probably so tired of me. But one day, Joe said to me, good morning, Melissa. Score. Score. And you know, I could. The enemy would say to me, you're bugging him. Leave him alone. Why is he so cranky anyway? Right? He is so cranky. Why do you even talk to him? Why do you even mess with him? You know, some people might say, Melissa, that's just your nature. You're just friendly. You're just nice. It's really not my nature. No, really, is it? That's not our nature. That is not our nature. We are not friendly and nice. Come on. Sometimes I'm tired. Most days I'm tired. Whose nature is that? Yeah, that's the nature of my perfect father. I have to intentionally take on his nature or you're going to see my nature. Okay, so don't give me that. Oh, it's just not my personality. It's not the way I'm wired. It's not all the things. Me neither. It's not the way any of us are wired. We were not born that way. Take on the nature of Christ and shine the light and watch him do what he's going to do. All right. I just confessed that to all of you. My nature really is that I'm cranky. Oh, well. And the truth, too, is my nature is to retreat because I was that little girl who was unplanned, unwanted, right? So if I really believed those old lies, that's the root of that. I'm going to retreat. Joe made me feel rejected in the beginning. Not this Joe, my worker Joe, my coworker, not Joe. My coworker Joe made me feel rejected. And what do we do when we feel rejected? We reject back. We do. God does not. Okay. God freed us from our nature. He called us to be intentional and reflecting his nature to everyone, cranky or not. I don't know much about Joe. I don't know. You know, maybe he has the best life and he just doesn't like me. I don't know. But here's the thing. God put him in my path. He shined his light on him for some reason. So I just do my part. He did give me a donut last week, just so you know. God's calling us to a society that lives inside these walls and outside these walls, that desperately needs the love of family, of parents, of sisters, of brothers. He's calling us to understand fully his great love for us so that we can show it to them. You know, we sang, we activate the masses this morning. We are the masses. I think God's trying to activate us. And as our milkshakes would remind us, it's time to shake it up. It may be time to recognize that the way we've gone about this business in the past isn't effective. If you work in companies or businesses or organizations, every so often you have to sit down and say, what's working? What's not working? Where do we need to change? And I feel like God's bringing us to that place as a body. Are we meeting our goals? What even are the goals? We need to stay current. In companies, they're constantly trying to update the mode of communication or advertisement. And I would encourage us, challenge us, that we need to update our mode of communication as well. What's working in showing the world the mission of Christ and the love of our perfect Father? Back in the day, I did VBS with Sheila Moore. Many of you may know her. And Pat at First Assembly. And those were ginormous Vacation Bible Schools. We had 200 kids coming in. And then the last night of Vacation Bible School, we did a little sing and dance thing for the parents. And so 200 kids' parents were coming in. And then they were getting saved. And then they were serving. And they were finding churches. And that's the way it worked back then. That's not happening anymore. Not that VBS isn't happening. People aren't coming to us like they did then. It's just like what Billy Graham said. In his time, they were coming to crusades. Now the Spirit's leading us one-on-one to build real relationships with people, which requires us to be real too. I think the Lord would just like for us to wake up that potentially the approach we've been taking isn't effective currently. In the Capitol, just down from my office, and I wasn't sure if I was going to tell this story, but I think I will. If you guys are still with me, I have no idea how long this is. Everybody still need another milkshake? This feels long. In the Capitol, outside offices are flags. Typically, the flags are the American flag and the Missouri state flag. Sometimes you'll see a Christian flag. But we have a representative down the hallway that has two additional flags to her American flag and her Missouri flag. One is the LGBTQ flag, and one is a flag that I didn't recognize. I had to Google and look it up because we don't know these things, right? We got to educate ourselves. Pink and white is the transgender flag. So she has those outside her door in addition to the other two flags. Okay. So the representatives at my end of the hall are primarily one side of the aisle, they're Republicans. That end is a different side. I'm trying really hard not to label, like the enemy does us. I'm trying really hard not to label. But there was outrage, I will just tell you, complete outrage. And I heard things like, well, I'm sticking my Christian flag out there. Okay. Or, what right does she have? What do those even mean? Who is she anyway? Right? They. I heard a lot of that. I'm not sure that's effective. What I think that probably does is confirm to her exactly what she's always thought of us. Right? We're pretty narrow-minded, grumpy with people who don't agree with us or think the way we do. I'm just asking. I just feel like not one person just talked to her. Like none of them knew what that pink and white flag meant. And I was the one that said, why don't we ask her? What? I'm not talking to her about that. You would have thought that I said, we need to get a flag just like it. Like, I mean, it was a total outrage that I said, why don't we ask her what that one means, why she thinks that way? Just so you know, I did ask her. because I've been praying for her and asking God to give me opportunities with her. And so the next day we were in the elevator together, just the two of us, and I mentioned, hey, I noticed you got new flags. She told me exactly why she believes what she believes, and I listened to her, and that was it. I didn't tell her my stuff yet. I'm going to get a chance to tell her my stuff. That's coming. That's coming. But I can't lead with that. I have to lead with kindness and being different. That's what he's called us to do. You know, the Bible says that Caleb had a different spirit about him. That's where we are. We have to have a different spirit about us. Okay. Whew, I told that story about those flags. Okay. Here's another one. I'll just follow with this. We have a lobbyist at the Capitol who lobbies for certain rights that I absolutely do not agree with. He's the parenthood lobbyist. Young guy. Works for Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood. Works for Planned Parenthood. Always has earbuds in his ears, which tells me he does not want to talk. Or be talked to. He just wants to do his job and get out of there, right? Nothing sends a signal like that. Like, don't say good morning to me, don't talk to me, don't be nice to me. I'm sticking my earbuds in my ears. But guess who talks to him? That annoying lady that talks to everybody. I talked to him. He came in our office one day. He had his stuff. I already knew who he was, had all his literature. He was going to do his job. He came in looking at me with the expectation of what? Rejection. Same stuff he gets in a lot of offices. Like, that's not really a welcomed. Our Capitol is heavily Republican. He probably doesn't have a lot of friends there. Came in, I gave him a water bottle, had him sit down, he shared his stuff. I listened, I took his flyers, and said, how often do you come? I'm here every day. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. And I asked the Lord, give me opportunity with that kid. He's 20-something. Somebody's boy, right? Somebody's son, working hard on something that he may believe in. I don't know. I don't care. What's my job? Mother him with the love that God has given me. I see him every day. I tap him. He gives me his earbuds in. I tap him. Hey, how are you today? Oh, I'm good. So a few weeks in, and he comes to the office, more literature, something new. And he told me, this is the nicest office in the Capitol. Should be. I don't have to stick a flag out, right? I don't have to stick a flag out. Neither do you. We just gotta love them. Focus on the Family recently stated in an article about showing the message of Christ effectively in our current time. He reminded us of Paul's writings. I've become all things to all men that I might by means save some. He goes on to say that the idea is to be keenly aware of your audience. My audience in the Planned Parenthood kiddo, he'd had plenty of rejection. I was keenly aware of that. That's not what I was going to give him. We have to be able to present the message of Christ in a way that addresses their needs and assumptions, his assumption. Colossians tells us to walk in wisdom toward those who are the outside, redeeming our time. Let our speech always be seasoned with salt and grace, so that we may know how to answer each one. They're all different, and it's all complicated. We're all different, and we're all complicated. We have to tap into what the Holy Spirit is saying and leading us to do. It really does need to be good news. Right? It really does need to be good news. It is good news. In many settings, the Lord is reminding us to be slow to speak, quick to listen, because that is not the culture that we live in. There are a lot of people who need to be listened to. But we live in fast-paced, we don't have time for you. How about if the church rises up and says, we have time for you? They might start listening to us. I think they will. Because I wear those rose-colored glasses that people make fun of. Okay. Our world has shifted. It's definitely shifted. We definitely know that. We have to arm ourselves to adequately reflect our perfect Father. We have to fight the pride that we tend to walk in. We're right, right? Well, we are right. We are right. But to walk in the right in a prideful way, Is that right? I'm just asking. We have to humble ourselves. We have to do good. We have to intentionally do good. Smile, say hello, open the door. Be mindful of your face. Our face. I heard a story about Abraham Lincoln who interviewed a man who was overqualified for the job, but because he could not control his face, he wouldn't hire him. And he said, he's 40 years old, he should be able to control his face. Same for us, right? Can we control our face or not? I have to intentionally smile. Does that mean I'm always smiling? Heavens no. I've got my burdens, I've got my stuff. Don't we? I don't want to carry those around in my pocket, though. I'm going to give those to the Lord. I'm going to intentionally smile. And I'm going to get out there. I'm going to be about it. I have a good friend who always says, be about it. I'm going to be about it. We have to tend our own hearts. God's calling us to extraordinary kindness, extraordinary listening, extraordinary smiling. What's the point? To eliminate the nature of God above my own nature. It's the reason we were saved. It's really hard when I hear Christians refer to certain groups or certain generations or certain people who are struggling in certain ways the way we do sometimes. The time for making jokes about things that we don't understand, it's not time. Time is short, we know that. Back in the day when I worked at the pregnancy center, some of the programs that we accept now as normal parts of the center, we had to fight to do. The post-abortive ministry to women who had had abortions, were hurting because of those abortions. When I was there, the director then, Marcia, was developing a program to minister to those women. We took a lot of static for that. Those women who've had abortions, those women. But the mission to Marcia was plain. Love them. God will do the rest. So that's what we did. That's probably a pretty common ministry among pregnancy centers now, post-abortive ministry. But then we had to fight to do that. Also, even just giving them supplies. Well, if you do that, you're just enabling them, and they're just going to this, and they're just going to that. No, the mission is plain. We're going to love them. Any situation now, if you this, they're going to think it's okay. Or if you that, they're going to keep doing that. Or if they this, and so on. I can't figure it all out, right? Can you guys? We can't figure it all out. That's why God made it simple. Love and be kind. That he knew we weren't going to be able to figure it all out. Psalm 67, 1 and 2 says, may God be gracious to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, that his way may be known in the earth and his salvation among all the nations. He's gracious to us, he blesses us, his face shines upon us so that his way will be known. Our job is to show all that, show that he's gracious, so that he's good. That's our job. He's a good and perfect father. Bill Johnson from Bethel says there's something... must be something tangible in our lives to draw others, because the truth is, if God did it for me, he can do it for anyone. Okay, I'm ready for the Todd White clip. Is it ready? Okay, we have a Todd White clip. I promise I'm almost done. Maybe. Oh, just a second. If you don't know Todd White, he's a former addict who now has a huge ministry. So many people have come to know the Lord and have been set free because of Todd White's ministry. So this is just a tiny bit of his testimony. I wanted you guys to see it.
Like, I couldn't figure it out. Well, how can you be so happy? Like, you're in the same world I'm in. Yeah. He's like, well, it's not what's wrong. It's what's been made right. And he started to talk to me about what he went through and how Jesus. And I'm like, dude, I did not come here to hear about Jesus. And he's like, well, this is a church. But the reality of it is in my life, I never thought that Jesus was in a church because nobody approached me with Jesus on the street or anywhere I went. So why would I think Jesus is in a church? Like, he wouldn't be hiding there, would he? And so like he's telling me, and I'm like, he said, since you don't want your life, why don't you give it to somebody that does? And I'm like, dude, who would want my life? Like, really? He said, well, Jesus would want your life. I'm like, okay. So he shared the cross with me, and I'm like, I saw love in this guy's eyes. Like, I saw the lamp of the body is the eye. And if your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. And I saw love for God in him. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know what the deal is with you. And he just loved Jesus. And he's so special. His name's Dan Moeller. He's just an amazing man of God. And I was like, okay, whatever, dude. If he wants my life, he can have it. There, I did it. And he's like, amen. I'm like, what is that? You know, and I ended up going home. He said, you're going to need my number. And I said, why am I going to need your number? He said, because you're going to need to talk to somebody and I'd like to help you. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So he gives me his number. I go home. And I called my daughter because I knew where they were at. They were at my girlfriend's mom's, who hated me because I ruined her daughter's life. And I said, and Destiny answered the phone. And I said, hey, you need to tell mommy that daddy found God. And my daughter said, what's he like, dad? And I said, I don't know. But I saw somebody that does. And the reality of it is this guy really knew that Jesus loved him.
Yeah.
Like it was real.
Yeah.
And he loved God. And I'm like, I'm going to take you to meet this guy. And he's going to tell you about Jesus. You know, and I had no idea what I'd given myself to anyway.
Perfect. So he's referencing Dan Moeller. And Dan's been here. My husband loves him and calls him Smiley Dan because he does constantly smile and laugh. He's just a happy guy. But Dan Moeller is the man who led Todd White to the Lord. And I love what he says about him, even in that very early stage of, no, I don't know what God looks like, but I met a guy who does. Like, I know a guy, right? Well, we are those guys. The world needs to know us. We need to be that guy. I love that. I love that testimony. So I'm going to reference something that Smiley Dan taught. In his teaching, Becoming Love, that's the name of it, Becoming Love, Dan Moeller, Smiley Dan, says, Jesus loves in us not only so we can go to heaven someday, so that heaven can come out of us today. Not only should we confess Jesus, but we should express Jesus. He goes on to challenge what dictates how we behave. Is it our circumstances that dictate how we behave? The people around us, hurts in our past, frustration of what we're facing in our society, confusion? What is it that's motivating us? We have to take those setbacks, those hurts, the confusion, and we just have to trade them in. They're too heavy for us. And God says, okay, I got that. Now you go give candy to everybody you see at work. Okay, I can do that, right? Dan Moeller goes on to say, the goal of following Jesus is becoming love, and if God can change the way I see and think, he can change my whole life, and I would say that he could also change the lives of others. It's simple. In January, Angela shared the beginning at the up here, she shared, Angela taught and shared, a vision that the Lord had given her. And the title of it, I re-listened to it this week, was, It's Time to Rise Up. Time for the church to arise. All who know Jesus should rise up. That's what Angela told us in January. Okay? She shared that it's time for an awakening, and that's why I asked Sean to sing that this morning. We know the awakening needs to come to the lost, but the awakening needs to come to the found too. Needs to come to me too. It starts with us. It's a simple shining of the light, sharing the simple love, passing out the candy. Angela challenged us to speak about generations in a different way. She went through the history of how generations are labeled, and we know our current generation is millennials, snowflakes, some people call them. But we know better, and we have to speak the words of life over all those generations, and most importantly, this one. The jokes about snowflakes, the jokes about millennials, that's not God's heart. It's not the way he sees them. That's a soft spot. The time to blame the culture or the parents or the public universities or the Republicans or the Democrats, that's all over. We can't lay blame anymore. while we sit quiet with the answer. Anybody sit in class when you're a little kid and you have the answer but you're too scared to raise your hand? Is that us right now? We have the answer. We've gone silent because we don't know what to say, or we don't want to say something wrong. We don't want to hurt anybody, right? And our media is super good about highlighting the negative. Anybody notice that? The media is exhausting, and the spotlight is constantly on the dark, the mass shootings, this, that, all the things. What confuses me is when we as light bearers share the darkness too. We repost the dark on our Facebook, or we're the light. There was a group in the 80s, I'm not going to reference the group, but they had a certain movement, a certain goal. They started meeting. There were 175 of them. They wanted to change the outlook society had on this issue that they were concerned about. So their plan was simple. They were going to infiltrate everywhere that they went, wherever they worked, wherever they went, simply by twisting the perspective of that particular issue from negative, which is what it was at the time, to positive. So 175 people in the 80s met together. Let's get a plan. Let's do this. Let's show that what we stand for and their ideology is actually positive, even though our culture's always referenced it as negative. I will tell you that that is a culture that now, 2019, is very well accepted as positive. They did it. They did it. They had a plan. Simple. They walked it out. They did it. All the while, we... hope this is not a negative teaching today. Is this a little heavy for Mother's Day? Feels a little heavy. I'm trying. All the while we sat quiet, it's our turn. It's just our turn. That's all. It's our turn to do the same thing. Infiltrate everywhere we go with our ideology, which is Jesus is Lord and God's love is good and he's a good, perfect father. That's it. That's the simple. Becca thinks I'm done. She's so nice. She's so hopeful. Good job, Melissa. I'm almost done. But we're not doing that. We're making jokes about the snowflakes. We're chanting, build the wall. We're building walls, that's for sure. We got to do something different. That's all. The Lord's calling us in this particular season, this particular stage, to do it a little different. And in January, Angela said, Isaiah 61:6, we're to bring the good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty, comfort those who mourn. I don't see chant, build the wall, post ugly on my Facebook page. I don't see any of that. Bring good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty, comfort those that mourn. Let me see if this can be my last story. Wouldn't you be so excited if this is my last story? There's one more capital story. There's a little guy. I love him. He does not love me back. Well, he does now, but he didn't in the beginning. He's probably 80, and he guards the door entering the House of Representatives, where representatives go into session to work, to vote. It's very... he's very strict, and he should be. He wears an official, he's got the thing in his ear and the badge and the whole thing, like serious business. And he's got a lot of rules that I did not know in the beginning, so I'm pretty sure I stepped on every one of them and drove him crazy, but we got it. We worked it out. But he's cranky, and what I heard from the very beginning was, oh, he's cranky, don't go through that door. There's another door. Go through the other door. That doorman's nice. Don't go. Nope. I'll go through that door. So every day I go through that door, smile, jump through all the hoops he needed me to jump through, the whole thing. Well, as I'm working there, I'm hearing that his wife is sick and she passed. I'd be cranky too, right? I might be grumpy too. So she passed away. So I hear that and I ask the Lord, I need a chance to love on him. Like, I need to see him outside that door and I need to. So I went to my favorite spot in the Capitol, which is where the free coffee is, got myself a cup of free coffee, and guess who came in? Cranky doorman. So he came in, I said, how are you today? And he told me, not too good, I lost my wife. And he cried. And he told me all about her. 46 years, she sounded wonderful. And he thinks maybe it's time to retire because his body is not doing what it should. And I love him, right? So I listened, gave him a tissue. He patted me on the back and said, thank you for listening. And he went back to his post and I went back to mine. And I said, Lord, thank you. I wanted to love him. Let me do more. What else can I do? So I hear that he likes butterscotch candy. I heard that through the grapevine. Butterscotch is his favorite. So I always pack my pockets full of butterscotch before I go into the house. And he now he's like a child. He's like Nora. She knows I have candy in my purse for her. So she always looks in my purse. He always looks, hey, how are you? And I pull out my butterscotch, give him candy. We like each other now. He talks to me. Whatever. I don't know that. I don't know if he knows the Lord. I don't know if he votes Democrat or Republican. I don't know. I don't know any of that. What I do know is that God said, love. So I did. And guess who got blessed right back? Me. I really love him. He's a sweetheart. Okay, so there's all that. Love, love, love. It's a lot of love. Can I tell you one last thing? Anybody up for one last thing? Yeah. Really? Okay. That's exciting. They're not asleep yet. So one more Capitol story. We were all abuzz. There was a special speaker coming in from a famous Fox News. I'll just say it. He's a contributor at Fox News. Everyone was so excited. He was coming. His name's Michael Knowles. And we were all excited. So we went down to listen to him. I'm listening. And he's telling me all these stories about those millennials and those snowflakes and those terrible public universities. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, does he have a solution to any of that? Like, I know what's going on out there, but does he have the answer? What's the solution? 28 minutes. His speech was 28 minutes. I videoed it because my representative couldn't go. But 28 minutes, he talked about the darkness all around us. No solution. They had a standing ovation. No solution. I told Becca, I was tempted to go to him later and say, so what do you think we should do about all that? And the Lord said to me, he does not have the answer. You do. We do. He can't give it. He doesn't know it, right? But we like to hear those things because they fuel us in our pride spot that says, see, it's terrible out there. That's not what we need. That's in this stage, that's just not what we need. Nehemiah 4 talks about the importance of family. You'll remember when Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall, he had to readjust some of the plan. Different opposition came against him. He had to kind of gather a new plan, to do it a little differently. A couple times, he had to. What he finally did was, if you remember this, and I know that you do, he divided the workers into families. So the weavers are going to rebuild the section that's by the weaver's house. You're going to work right there. And it was the power of the family that eventually accomplished the goal that Nehemiah had. That's us. We're the power of the family. Maybe we're not blood related to each other, but God calls us family, and he's our father. So the power of the family, our culture needs to see healthy family. They've seen enough of the other stuff. They live in it all the time. We have to show it. They have to see healthy marriages. They have to see husbands love their wives. Wives love their husbands. That's what they need to see. We need to shout that from the rooftops. This stack is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. We need to remember, too, that those people, those millennials, those whatevers, they're people. Every single one of them. And they all have a story of some kind. Just like we do. Just like I do. Just like you do. People like us need to act with mercy and love. That's where God's calling us. Spurgeon says, it is ours not to speculate, right? Not my job to try to figure out why they're acting the way they're acting. I don't know. But to perform acts of mercy and love according to the tenure of the gospel. Let us be less inquisitive and more practical. Less talk, more show, right? He's calling us to treat people based on their destiny, not their history, their current identity, or their status, but what we know to be their destiny, what God says about them. Our compassion for the sinner, which is all of us, must outweigh our hatred of the sin. No matter what we see or hear, we have to trust God in this season. I have to trust that my passing out of the candy is making some kind of difference to somebody somewhere. Because God said, be kind, and I am, and he will. He'll do the rest. Mary Glazier came in March. Angela gave us a word in January. Mary Glazier came in March and spoke. And she shared that she believes that God is on the brink of an amazing thing. I agree. She shared from Matthew 24 about the Son of Man is coming. And as I looked a little bit into that chapter a little more, something continued to stand out to me in verse 42. It says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day or hour the Lord will return. The Lord's issuing a wake-up call. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. He's called us to carry and release the power of God, and we know that power manifests in many ways, but I believe in this season, the power is from the love and kindness that we can show. All right, what's our assignment? Proclaim the good news. It's easy, right? It needs to sound good, look good, be kind. It needs to be love. We can do that. We have territory to regain. We do not have an option. This is not optional. Right? We got to. We need to esteem others higher than ourselves. Take the road of humility. Might look bleak. Kind of does look bleak, actually, sometimes if you look too close at it. Don't look at it. Be Caleb. Have a different spirit. Look beyond ourselves, our churches, our own families, and be willing to be what we need to be to those that need us. We've been believing for a few things for a while. Many of us have. Psalm 126, 5 says, those who sow in tears will rejoice in joy. I love that scripture. I'm a crier. We know that. So lots of times I am sowing in tears. And I know that God sees those tears and he's going to answer everything I'm crying over. But what's interesting about that scripture is sowing is work too. So just because I have things I'm crying over doesn't mean I can't also be working for him. We just have to do it. Be about it, my friend would say. The Lord's challenged us to release our concerns to him so that we're free to shine his light and love others. Okay, Mary Glazier spoke specifically to members of the church certain words. I re-listened and I wrote them down. God's calling us to work together to ensure a steady walk. Calling us to work together. We got to do it. It's a family. She also said, leave the old things behind and ask for big. Believe for big and leave the fear behind. We need to be willing to release our own goals and embrace the call he had for us. This was tricky for me. Pat Rogers is my girl. I'm going to be her when I grow up. But the path that God has put me on at the Capitol is not, I haven't seen Pat do that. And so I wrestled with him a bit. This was not my, yeah, you mentioned it 20 years ago, but I'm going to be a nana at some point. I am going to be a nana at some point. But I'm going to be like, Pat, remember, Lord, that's my plan. That's my goal. That's what I'm doing. Are you ready to abandon that for your own call, your own walk, your own? We have to do that. Sometimes it doesn't look like we think. It's probably not going to look like we think. But it doesn't matter. It's not about us. So I had to release that. We have to release that. Release our own goal. Release the yuck. Don't carry all that stuff around in your pocket. You got to tend to your own heart. We have to be the light of the world. Okay? Mary Glazier also called us back on the road to pursue God above anything else. Seek God first. Everything else will be added. Okay, here's it. Look what we did. we got to the end. Everyone's so hungry probably at this point. Here's what this says. Love others so radically they'll wonder why. And then you can tell them. Because I have a Father who's loved me so radically. He's calling us higher in this particular day. He's calling us to align our sight to see for the kingdom. There's more at stake than our opinion or being right. Spurgeon also says, seeing is not believing, but believing is often seeing. It opens the eyes so that we're able to see what was before hidden. We have to look the way God does. He wants to reveal to us the hurt, the broken. He's looking for those with that different spirit, the Caleb spirit, the spirit of faith that says, I believe that God will honor my efforts of love and kindness. In this day, he's looking for those who say, yes. Yes, I will shake it up. Yes, I will take my place in the family. Yes, I will listen to hear and understand. Yes, I will communicate to connect. We got to connect to people. It's not fast food. It's not going to happen that way. We have to be willing to do it. Yes, I will show love. Yes, I will take care of my own heart. Yes, I'm willing to listen even when it's uncomfortable topics. Yes, I'm willing to show that perfect love of my Father. Whenever, whoever. That's that. I'm going to trust Pastor Joe to do his what he does, which is wrap it up. I don't know.